Okay, Bava Metzia Daf Samech Hey 65A. Amar Abaye, a couple lines down. Amar Abaye, Haiman Damasik de Ribisach Bechavre. Sorry, Haiman Damasik Zuza de Ribisach Bechavre. Someone who lends money and claims the money of Ribis from his friend, I assume. Vika Azli Chite Arba Grive Bezuza Beshuka. And the cost of the wheat in the market was 4 sa per zuz. V'yav le'iu chamisha. And the borrower gave him 5. Isn't that less?
No.
He gave him 5 per zuz.
Right, so he gave him more.
I know it's... Okay, so I don't understand what exactly happened. He gave him...
He owed him what?
1 zuz.
He owed him a zuz.
Right. And now he's giving him back a zuz. No, but at that point, he's giving it back when the market is 5 per zuz as opposed to 4 per zuz.
5 greasy?
No. The market was 4, and he gave him back 5.
5 what? I thought it was per zuz.
Right, give him. Right, the market price was 4 measures per zuz. He gave him back 5 measures of wheat, so therefore he gave him back 1 1/4.
He gave him 5 measures of wheat, not that it was 5 measures per zuz. Okay, no. That wouldn't make any sense. So he gave him an extra 5th. Ki mafkinan minei, 4 mafkinan minei. When the Dayanim came, which we said is not necessarily allowed, but depends who you're passing the lake. So when the Dayanim came to extract the ribis from the lender and give it back to the borrower, they took away 4. Arba mafkinu minei.
Right.
Oh. Wait. How much was the ribis? The ribis was 5? But the ribis was 4 zuz?
The ribis was a zuz. So instead of giving him a coin, he gave him 5 measures of wheat when the price, the going price was 4 for a zuz. So he should have only...
So they took 4 measures of wheat...
Away from him.
Because the whole thing...
Because that was... The ribis was a zuz.
What he charged was a zuz.
Yeah.
What the guy gave him was more than a zuz. For the ribis part, not the whole thing.
Right.
Okay. Idach, the other one, Ozule hu de kamozil gabe. That was just to compensate for the difference in the market price.
He says that was a discount. The borrower gave the lender at less than the market price. I mean, at more than the market price, but the ribis was a zuz, so we take away a zuz, which in this case, a zuz was worth 4 measures of wheat. So we only take away 4 measures of wheat, and the guy gets to keep the extra, and we don't look at that 5th measure as part of the interest.
So basically what we're looking at is, the only thing we look at is the amount, financial amount, that the seller asks for. Anything else that he gets is different, and we just look at it as, I don't know what this phrase even means, Ozulihu de Kamozul Gape. I don't know exactly what that means. I still don't know. How does it translate that word? You gave it to him cheaper?
Extra measures are merely a discount that the borrower gave the lender.
What does that mean? How does a buyer give someone a discount? I don't get that part, but okay. He's just giving him extra as like a gift. Rava Amar Chamisha Mafkinan Mine. Rava says, so this is Abaye. Abaye says you take 4 away because that's what he charged. Rava says you take 5 away. To make Karbis Aras Ribisa Asaliade, the whole reason that he gave that is because he was giving for the interest. I mean, we don't look at what the lender charged, we're looking at what the borrower paid. You would have never gotten the whole 5 if it wasn't for ribis. He gave him 1 piece of clothing, which was worth 4 Ki mafkinu minei arba mafkinu minei. Arba mafkinu minei, galim alo mafkinu minei. You don't take the piece of clothing, you take the four. Four, whatever that means.
The clothing, is the garments is regarded as a sale and not returnable.
Okay. Rava Amar Glima Mafkin Minei, my Tamakiech Tolimru Glima de Machase Vekai, Glima de Rabisahu. So that people don't look at that and say, oh, that's the Ribbis clothing.
I don't understand why you just don't return the garment. After all, they both agreed.
This right, so what's the reason for Abaye?
Both mutually agreed. Mutually agreed upon interest is not allowed. And so, you know, it's not, you know, so the one of them, the fact that they agreed on it is irrelevant. So the lender says, you need to give me four zoos in interest. And the
And
the borrower says, well, I'll give you the garment. So What difference does it make what the garment is worth? Instead of agreeing on four zoos in illegal interest, they're now agreeing on a garment in illegal interest. So
right. Abaye is sort of sticking to his conviction that we're only ever looking at the financial request of the lender. We're only ever looking at finances. We don't really care if it's more than that or less than that or in a different form. We're just going to take exactly what the lender asked for.
I mean,
I'm imagining that, let's say, the garment went up in value. I don't know how or what the situation would be. So then how could you give some, according to Abaye, how could you give some of the garment back? Right? It's a worthless garment at that point. So it's, you're not really giving. So you're going to get yourself in a quagmire, which I thought the Gemara was going to ask, but it's not. According to Abaye, according to Rava, you can just give back the clothing at all times, which is what he says. But
regardless
according to
whether it's gone right, up in value or down,
because that's
in value.
The thing that came because of the interest. Right. But according to Abaye, you're going to get yourself stuck if you're going to say, you know, you got to give back the garment, even if it's the right price now. It might not be the right price the other time.
I'm assuming this is a case where the dollar amount was agreed at the time of the loan, and now he's just paying it off.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
Because it would seem like if they had agreed initially,
give me a garment,
that.
And that's the ribbis, even according to Abaye.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not, I don't know. I mean, we haven't seen that yet, but I can imagine that Abaye would make such a distinction. We haven't seen it yet. But this is an interesting time. This is also the first time we've ever seen this concept from Rava, which is we don't want people disgracing the concept of ribbis, bless you, by saying, oh, that guy's wearing a ribbis shirt. Right? We never saw that before, that we have a vested interest, like socially, that people should give us certain chashivas to the isser of ribbis, and this guy walking around with a shirt that he bought from ribbis is not a good thing for us. Okay, does Abaye disagree with that? Abaye is like, oh yeah, people can wear ribbis stuff all the time, and as long as the money was paid back, we don't care.
Or is kind of interesting. Just not agree with the concept that people are gonna look
say
at that shirt,
right? Maybe
say
he disagrees with the metzias.
Oh, people that wear the wheat. Who would say that?
Well, that's why
it's a different case.
You can get back the wheat, but you can't get back the garment. Abaye said you can get back.
No one's going to look at wheat, which is indistinguishable from the other wheat.
It's just a question of how much wheat you have to give back.
But
Abaye agrees you can give back the wheat.
I know, but Rava says that you have to give back the full five. And so
that was a financial question.
Rava is consistent that you have to give back the full thing. And so Rava's argument here is that people look and say this is a ribbis shirt, and Rava's argument before is not that people will look say that's a
thing. Both Abaye and Rava are giving back the same financial amount in the second case of the shirt. It doesn't matter what form, right? The price didn't change in the second case. It was just whether or not you require the actual item. Amar Rava, high man demasik tracer is the ribbis bechavrei va'agar lechatzer dimitagra basara. A guy asked for 12 zuz of ribbis. The agarlein, he rented to him a courtyard worth 10 zuz. Okay, the ogre niele betresar, but he lent it to him, he rented it to him for 12, even though it's usually worth 10?
Right.
So he's charging ribbis on the ribbis?
No, he's under. The guy is taking less in ribbis. The first case, the guy took an extra griva or whatever it's called of grain, And now
he's Are you saying he's giving him a discount?
No, this time the lender is getting is on the short end.
Right,
that's what I'm saying. He's getting him. He's giving him 10 instead of 12. Right. When it says here, "Va'ogre hinyale betresar," he's not. He's not paying more. He's paying less.
Right.
Because he's claiming it's 12 when it's really only 10. Ki mafkinen mine, tresar mafkinen mine. We still remove 12 from
the lender
who got an imaginary 12 worth by using that courtyard.
Accepting this as 12.
Right. So amalei ki agra hachi to have a kamishtar shili. When I agreed to rent the chatzer for 12, it was only because it was for the ribbis. And I didn't have to pay anything, right? I didn't lose any actual money. I just stayed here. Hashlo mishtar shili. But now when the money, I never got the money itself. So then I wouldn't be willing to rent it for cheaper or rent it for more, I guess. The only reason I was willing to do this because no money was changing hands. So I didn't feel bad about it. But now that you're asking me for literal 12 zuz, so then kid the agri kule amahu the agarna. I didn't want to. Kid the agri kule amahu the agarna. I would have only taken what the rest of the world pays if I knew you were going to extract money from me for this. Mishum to Amarlei says the Gemara, no, we don't listen to him because he could have said, Savart v'kabelt, you took it.
You accepted it. You understood its value, right, and accepted it as well. But this is very inconsistent with the garment and the wheat, where on the other end you're making the lender disgorge the extra profit. Here you're making him disgorge what he didn't profit. You're making him disgorge the interest paid above agreed upon, and here you're making him disgorge interest he received above agreed upon. Here you're making him disgorge interest that he never got in the first place. These are very inconsistent, it seems to me. I mean, if your idea is that we always want to punish the lender, then okay, if that's our rule, that we always punish the lender.
Well, the lender's the one that did the aveira, right? The pasuk says you can't lend on interest.
Correct.
It doesn't say you can't borrow with interest.
No, we said that they're both held liable for it.
We said they're both, it's forbidden to borrow on interest
it
also.
It is, but I mean...
The perpetrator is the provider, but we said they're both right, over an isser.
Right.
So, be consistent.
I hear you. I don't know.
The first time.
Rava's logic doesn't seem like it stems from one thing. It does sound like they're two separate.
I don't know what Rava would say in this last case.
This is Rava. It just wasn't Machlokas, Rava and Abaye.
We don't know what Abaye would say in this last case.
We don't know what Abaye would say. This is Rava.
It is interesting that Abaye is not mentioned.
Rava's rule seems
If I were to ask you what would Abaye say, you'd say, oh, that's the same thing as Rava. Because Abaye is the one that says it's all about what he's asking for. And he accepted this, so that clearly is what he wanted.
Rava's being inconsistent.
Possibly, I mean, yeah. I can imagine distinctions. It's a very different case.
Let's substitute money. We agreed, the simple thing to substitute money, we agreed on 12 zuz,
yeah,
zuzim of rebeat,
right?
And in fact, he only gave him 10,
right?
So now, do we make him pay? He gave him in money 10,
right?
Do we make him disgorge 12 when he never got the 12?
It's an interesting question because we hadn't seen that yet. But according to the first case, where we only looked at what he asked for, so then
he asked for 12.
He asked for 12, but he only ever got 10.
And now we're,
if we only look at what he asked for, so then you take what he asked for. But he never got that.
Well, he never got that in...
He didn't get that in the Chatzar case either,
He didn't get that in the Chatzar case.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, they're obviously different cases. I hear where there's an inconsistency, but the inconsistency is just like, it's forced. Like, there's nothing, it's almost like an Ones case, the inconsistency. Like, there's nothing he can use otherwise. I don't know. That's a tough one. I've got no notes on it, so it must be pretty clear.
You can say the very same thing with the weed at the beginning.
Not the very same thing.
You understood the value at 5.
No, but then he actually got 5.
Correct.
So I mean, there's something he has to give back. There's something he gained undeservedly. There's nothing that he gained undeservedly in the Kotzer case.
That's why Rav is a very inconsistent.
No, I'm saying that's a distinction between the statements of Rava. Meaning, yes, in both cases, we should only charge what he asked for, but maybe Rava says, we only charge him what he asked for and received. If he didn't receive something, we can't take it away from him.
Well, here we are. He didn't receive something, we're taking it away from him. That's exactly what we're doing.
I know. Well, yeah. I don't know.
And the garment, the implication with the garment has to be...
Well, that's the same thing.
The implication with the garment has to be that it's become worth more. It doesn't say that. It has to be. Otherwise, why are we arguing about it?
Yeah, it doesn't say that.
You take the garment
off. Rabbi does say that. All right, I don't know. Interesting. Mishnah says, Marbin al-Sachar v'Marbin al-Mecher. You're allowed to add onto something you rent, but not on something you sell. What does that mean? If you pay me right now to rent the whole year, 10 selah. If you pay me a month worth, it's going to be 1 selah per chodesh. Meaning you're getting a discount based on how much you commit to, which sounds pretty reasonable. So then mutter, that's like buying wholesale.
Well, not wholesale,
but in bulk.
Well, no, I don't think it's that. I think it's saying, if you want to pay me now for the whole year, I'm going to rent it to you for 10.
Yeah.
But if you want to pay me monthly for the whole year, it's going to cost you 12 because it's going to cost you a selah a month.
I know. That's called bulk pricing. Yeah. Bless you. You get more of, if you commit to buying more of it, you'll get a better rate.
I think either way, he's renting it for a year.
Correct.
He's committing to it for a year.
But he's committing to it for a year.
He's committing to it for a year either way. Is he paying it in advance?
I don't know if he's committing to it. I assume that if it's the 7th month and he says, actually, I don't want to live here anymore, he's just not going to pay anymore.
Well, it's not clear. I mean,
it's not clear, but it never says. The Mishnah never even uses the word.
21st century eyes, we would say, he wants the time value of the money. I want to invest the money, and so I want to invest the 10 selah.
Well, I mean,
we'll see. The Gemara is going to talk about the reason for it.
Automobile insurance is like that. If I pay it a year in advance, or six, if I pay the whole 6 months.
Yeah, but that's because you could change your auto insurance.
That's not really
in between.
No, I mean, you can change your auto insurance anyway and get a refund.
Yeah,
you can change it anyway. I mean, you can. My auto insurance is the same way. If I pay 6 months in advance, I get a discount.
Yeah, but it's probably monthly cost. I don't know.
Right.
We'll have to keep moving, but I think the Gemara is going to talk about it, and maybe the reason is because of the bulk commitment. But we'll see. Maybe even if you could get out of it and get all the money back, there's still a benefit to committing to the whole thing and sort of the comfort of having it for that long. Machalo sadeh v'amar lo me'ach im'ach shavatanosin harayas hishelcha be'alav zuz im lagoren. That's interesting. So he says, I'll sell you this land for 1,000, but if you want to push off the money until after the harvest season, is that what that means?
That's when you're going to have cash.
That's when you're going to have the money, or that's when he's going to have more to harvest. So then it's going to be 12 mana, which is 1,200 zuz.
Yeah.
So that's usr because it's like ribbis. That's one of the words I have in my notes. It's kiribis. We'll see exactly what this means. It says, what's the difference between the two? They're both bulk pricing. Why would it be any different? That's actually not true. The second one is not bulk pricing. It's just when you're going to pay for it. Rabba Rav Yosef, Damar Tarvai, Schiris, Enem, Mishalim, Es, Elav, Asof. That when it comes to rental properties, the rental property is only owed until after the actual time of the use. V'hai And in this case, when he's paying by month or by year, because the time for payment hasn't come yet until after the whole time, lav agar natar lei.
They have a rule in ancient times that is very foreign to us, that rent inherently is payable at the end, and we today have no such rule.
Right,
we don't have that. But the point is that the cost of that rental is only determined after the whole time. And therefore, he doesn't have to pay. And therefore, kevan de lomata zimna lemigba, lav agar nata le mishvahu de hachishavya. It's just what the cost is at the end. Vahai de kaamra le imeach shavatano sinli harehu lecha eser solam shana, o zule hu de kamozil gabe. He's just making a lower price. And that's not a problem. Seifa, but in the end, Kevin is vinin in who, because it's an actual sale and not a rental, ubay le mishkal demei ma'achshav, you have to give the money right now, hilkach agar natar lehu of aser. Then he's getting extra money. Okay, I don't really understand the distinction. But it's basically saying that a rental, you can charge a lower price, and it's just based on whatever you're charging. But the market, I think the market has, you know, it's dictated by the current value when the transaction is made. And therefore, if you were charging more or less based on when he's paying, it would be in contrast to what the price is right now. It would be in comparison to what the price is right now. So that's ribbis. Again, I still don't understand why there can't be ribbis at the end of the 12 months of the rental. But I guess it's not dictated by market value. That's really what we're saying.
It's all a matter of, you are not allowed to pay extra for waiting.
You're right. That's the Mishnah is really talking about whether or not you can charge more for the waiting period. So we're saying the rental, there is never a waiting period because you only ever pay at the end, or you only ever charge at the end.
This is very foreign to our thinking.
Amarava, right, Korea. Amarava, daku barabana bahamilsa, v'ok muha akra. They based it on a pasuk. Kischir shana b'shana. Schir is shal shana azu ena mishalmes ela b'shana acheres. At the beginning of the next year, basically, is when you're done finishing, when you're done paying for this year. Okay, v'im lagorin b'shnemes armana aser. Amar of Nachman, tarsha shari. Tarsha shari. What's a tarsha?
It's a delayed payment. An item is sold on credit, but at a higher price.
Well, that's exactly what the Mishnah says you can't do.
It literally means deaf or silent usury, according to J.S.Stro. Selling goods on credit at more than a cash rate without stipulating that the addition is an account of credit.
Right, he quotes the Ritzvah that the word tarsha literally means dumb. In a tarsha sale, the parties are dumb about the ribbis. They don't mention it. They don't say,
if you pay me now, it'll be this. If you pay me later, it'll be more. They just say, pay me at such and such a date, it'll be this price, which happens to be higher. At Tarsha, you're just playing dumb. Okay. Esave, Rami bar Chamaler of Nachman, Varmiler Rav Ukva bar Chamaler of Nachman, Im Mishnemasar Lagoren, Im Lagoren, Mishnemasar Mana Aser. Armalei Hasam Katzle. That's because they explicitly said it. Hachalo Katzle. Basically, he didn't play dumb in the Mishnah. The Mishnah was explicit. That's why it's a problem. Amar Papa Tarsha Didi Shari. My kind of Tarsha is good. What are we talking about?
Rav Papa was a beer merchant.
My time is, Shichrai. Shichrai lo pasid. Because the beer wasn't lost.
He sold it in Tishrei when prices were low to be paid for a Nisan at Nisan prices.
I could have sold it in Nisan, which would have got me more money. So, zuze lo tzrichna. And I don't need the money.
So I could have waited till Nissan to sell it to you.
I get no added benefit because it doesn't help me to sell it now and to charge more for it. I could have just waited in Nissan and made the same money.
I keep it to Nissan and I'm in no need of money.
So therefore, anahud kavina milsa gabi lokech, I'm just helping out this guy, he can get it earlier.
The note says it's wealth. It says he's a wealthy man. But anybody could claim that. Anybody could make this claim.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess it depends if it's true. I don't know.
Armor of Shesh is great. It has to be something though, that won't spoil between now and then.
Right.
Yeah.
It has to be something.
Right. Wine is like that, or beer. Armor of Shesh is bread, Rav Idi, Rav Papa, my chazi maradaka azalt basar didach. Why are we looking at your individual case? Zil basar did who? Why aren't we looking at the buyer? Zilu havaluhu zuze havushakli ki hashta. If he had the money, he would pay it right now. Hashta leslu zuze. Now he doesn't have the money and he has to pay it later. Shakli ki yukra dil kame.
So in a sense, he's paying.
He's paying more right now, basically. So Amar Rav Chama Tarshit. I guess they just disagree about that.
The bottom line is, to me, is Amar Rav Chama wants it now. He doesn't. If he didn't want it till Nisan, he would
wait until Nisan.
Wait until Nisan.
Amar Rav Chama Tarshit Didi Vaday Shari. He said, mine is completely okay. My time, nichaluhu the lake will be
shusi. We don't have a good answer. Did we ever answer?
No, we did not. I think they just disagree. Vaday shari, my time, nichaluhu the lake will be shusi. The kol hechad the kaazli shavkil hu mechsa. Venakaluhu shuka. What's the case here?
Well, he has a long explanation here about the cases.
It's like whether you pay for shipping. All the meanwhile, the product is being brought, or the loan is being brought. It's not yet theirs. And then once it gets there, it costs more. But only going to pay based on what it is when it gets there. Meaning for me, it costs this, but in that place, it costs that. But even though I'm selling it now or giving it now, I'm only really charging it at that price because it's not yet theirs until it gets to that place. That's what I'm understanding it. We pass on it, that's okay. Because it only is chal, the obligation is only chal when it gets there. V'hilchzak Rebbe Elazar, that Dayanim can take away ribbis. V'hilchzak Rebbe Yane, damar mali, heinu mali, demehen, doesn't matter if it's the value or the payers themselves, it's still going to be looked at as its financial value. Machalo, says the Mishnah, machalo, asasad v'nasun lo miktas damim, if a person sold his friend a field and gave him, and he got only some of the money,
if Amar Lo, part of it.
Right, partial payment. If Amar Lo, and the seller says to the buyer, "E masai shetirza have maos v'tolas shelcha," whenever you want, give me the money and take the rest of the field. V'tolas shelcha right now. Take the rest of the field right now. That would be usher. I don't know why.
When the balance is paid, the field shall have belonged to the buyer from the time of the purchase. Now should the vendor take the usufruct when the balance is paid, he has enjoyed debt which has really belonged to the purchaser. It looks like interest on the balance for which he waited. On the other hand, should the purchaser take...
Right. The problem is that he's going to be using the field.
And never complete the field, the deposit being returned.
To be retroactively...
He has got interest on it.
Yeah.
One or the other looks like...
Yeah, they're both problematic because if he takes food from the field, so then he'll be taking from something that's not his potentially, and if the buyer takes from the field, it'll be a problem because he'll be taken from the field, which is never his. Hilvo al sadehu, if a person lends to a friend,
and
the field is the collateral, v'yamarlo im iatanosin li mikan v'yashol shanim harehi shali. If you don't give me the money, this is going to be mine. After 3 years, it's going to be mine. Harei hu hi shelo. V'kachai abaitus ben zunin osa al pichachab.
field was worth more than the loan.
Even though the field was worth more, the collateral makes it a different situation. We've said that before. Mashkon is not the same thing as interest. It says, "Mi ochel peros." The Mishnah doesn't say anything about peros.
In the first case.
So why are we talking about the problem if he doesn't? Rav Huna Amar Mocha Ocha Peros. That's what we're talking about. Rav Hanan Amar Bishav Yehen. Bishav Yehen?
What?
Oh, I skipped. Mishal Shlenes Peros. Sorry. Mishal Shlenes Peros.
You have a third party hold on to the Peros until you find out whether they pays the balance or not.
Velo Pliki. Rav Huna Rav Hanan are not arguing. Had Amar Lechi Maisis Kni. You'll get Kini. You'll get it from now. Had Amar Lechimaisis Kani Me'achshav. Rav Hanan is saying, when you bring it, you'll get it right now, which is retroactively. It's still the same problem of who the fruit belonged to. Tani Rav Safra Beribis Tebe Rebbe Chia. Pamim Shishneim Lutarim Pamim Shishneim Asurin. Upamim shamocher motva alokech aser, upamim shalokech motva amocher aser. It depends on the situation, but both of them could be problematic for them to eat. It could be only one of them problematic for them to eat. In this kind of payment structure. Ani rava basrei, pamim shnei mutarin, de amar lei. No, there's also a time that they could both be mutter.
No, he's explaining, right?
Oh, he's explaining it? Okay, all four cases. Both mutter, both aser, and then one on one. Ani rava basrei, pam yishnei mutarim da amar lei kini shir zuzach. Basically, you give part of the field, and it's all prorated based on whatever you paid.
Now, so you have half the field right now, and then when you pay the other half, you get the other half.
Pam yishnei mutarim da amar lei lechim aises kini me'achshav. That if you bring it, it'll be retroactively taken, because in that case we don't know if it's going to be or not, and therefore it's bad for both of them to take. You'll buy it from, it'll be yours once you pay the whole thing.
So then, until
now, it's definitely the mocher's until that moment, and therefore the lokeach can't eat. And then they sort of push the money off as an independent thing. But the field is now the lokeach, so now the mocher can't eat it. Who's the opinion that says they're both aser? That's our Mishnah, basically. Amar Rav Huna b'Rei Rav Yeshua to lo k'Rebbe Yehuda. Not like Rebbe Yehuda, to Rebbe Yehuda, ha'amar tzad echad b'ribis mutter. Tzad echad b'ribis, if there's only one possibility that it's going to be ribis, and the other possibility makes it fine, so then it's mutter. The other possibility makes it fine would be if the seller eats from it and the buyer never pays. If he never pays, so then it was his the whole time. So Rabbi Yehuda believes that that's okay, because there's a possibility that it won't retroactively be any problem that he's eating from the fruit. But we said, we're consistent on this, that if there's a possibility that it's not going to happen, so that alone is a problem enough. Mishkin lo bias, mishkin lo sada, v'amar lo l'chshetirtza l'mochram, lo tim kareim el-li b'damim halalu. What does that mean? He gave him this as a collateral, a house or a field, in place of, for the sake of a loan. And he says, if you sell it, if you want to sell this field that you're giving to me as a collateral, meaning transfer the loan into a payment for the field itself. So that would be aser.
Like brackets say here, which less than its value.
Right, the field is worth more than that. Bishav Yehen, if he ever says with the price for the price of that, so that would be mutter. That's not like ribis. Okay, so meaning if you're charging the actual payment of the house, so that's different. Mantam adam halalu aser. Amar Rav Huna b'Rei Rav Yeshua de lo ki Rav Yehuda de'i Rav Yehuda ha'amar tzad echad ribis mutzer. Rav Yehuda says a possibility of ribbis is not necessarily a problem if there's a possibility that it won't be ribbis. Because it's possible he'll never sell the house, in which case he'll never use the house as a ribbis, the extra value. Machalo bayis machalo sara ve'amar lo chesheyiyu limaos hachazirem li. If he sells him a house or sells him a field, and the seller says to the buyer, when I'll have money, I'll
resell it to me.
I'll buy it back. So that's usser. Why?
Primarily, the assumption is that it's at the same price.
The
first is forbidden because it looks like an evasion of usury. The purchaser gives a sum of money to the vendor in return for which he uses the field until the farmer repays him. It looks like a disguised...
I guess there's some kind of loan going on then.
It looks like a disguised loan.
Uh-huh. You're just using the house as the loan payment. However, the buyer says to the seller, when you get money, I'll give it back to you. So that's mutter. And here also it's possible that they'll never do that. And therefore, the ribbis will never happen. What's the difference between the two brisas? The one which says...
Where the
seller says I'll do it, and then the other one the buyer says is okay. Amarava reish lo amar li midate seifa da amar li midate. That the buyer of the house is aware of it.
In the second case, the buyer stipulated that the resale should be voluntary.
I mean, he's doing that on his own. The seller is not charging him that, and somehow
that
makes it better.
The buyer,
okay, shkayach.